ये चर्चा थी। मार्क की चर्चा थी एंड वी लुकिंग एट होली स्पिरिट बैपटिज्म। My guest is to lay the condition will start from the baptism of John. Amen? Okay, the first contact that you have with baptism in the New Testament is the baptism of who? John the Baptist. In fact, it's called John the Baptist. Amen? So, we are reading from verse 7 to verse 12. Matthew 3, 7 to 12. Can we have two versions? New King James, New Living, I can manage ESV too. Matthew 3, 7 to 12. Yes, Miss Eddie? I saw you. Is Paul tell us which version? Okay, go for it. Matthew 3, 7 to 12, New King James version.
This is who was spoken of by Prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Okay, I think you're reading from verse 3. You're starting from verse 7. Yeah. Matthew 3, 7 to 12.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come into his baptism, he said to them, bring the disciples who warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance and do not commit to sin to yourselves. We have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire, into the fire. I do baptize you with water into repentance. But he who is coming after me is not the mightier than I, whose sandals I am not ready to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing really fan is in his hand, and he will closely carry out his passion for a God's
prayer. Amen. And I like this one. It's good. Amen. So let's have it from another version. Matthew 3, 7 to 12. You have New Living or ESV? Okay, yes, which one? Which one first? I'll come to you. Which one? Yes, then I'll take that if I need to. Matthew 3, 7 to 12, New Living, go for it.
When he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees come to watch him baptize, he denounced them. Even with the snakes, he exclaimed, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, or say, for we are assembled today in Rome. That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the act of God's judgment is poised, waiting to serve the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into fire. I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy even to be a slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat, this winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, gathering the wheat into his barn, but burning the chaff with never-ending fire. Then Jesus went from
there. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. I love that. Beautiful. Okay, let's stop it there for time. So I have some questions just to give you the background. Here we're looking at two very key people that God used to start the New Testament. Who are the two most important people that God used to start the New Testament? Yes? Their ministry started the New Testament. Two key figures. Who were they? Yes, Israel? two key figures that their ministry was used to start the New Testament. Just tell us one of them. One.
John the Baptist.
And who was the second key figure that God used to start the New Testament?
Yes.
We both. I want to, when you say like I'm holding accountable. Of course, Jesus. I mean, without Jesus, there is no New Testament. Amen? The old New Testament answered Jesus. So why was John the Baptist important? Because we know that Jesus is the main man. Yeah? Why John the Baptist? What was the importance of John the Baptist's ministry? And you can also identify what we read today. He was sent. If you look at Matthew 3, 1 to 3. John the Baptist went to send to what? Prepare the way. What does it mean to prepare the way? I'm just bringing you into this message gradually. Yes? What does it mean to prepare the way? Like you're going somewhere and somebody goes ahead of you to prepare the way. What does that mean? To announce, yes, more. It's not sufficient, but it's part of it to announce. Yes, is it more than announcing?
To prepare the
heart. Yeah. For example, like can I put some kind of example? If you have the prime minister or the president coming to visit the Spanish church, how do you prepare? You apply, yes, more. Maybe try to get this. Masculine version is the plan. What's the feminine version of preparing? Prime Minister, President is coming to your house.
It's the plan. You're planning to make sure
everything is. Okay, so just only planning, you're going to do more than planning.
Yes, you have to make sure everything is.
Example, what do you prepare? I'm coming to this. Yes, thank you. Yes. Like what? Example.
Like what?
What will you do? Yes, thank you. Yeah, I don't know what they're being just dramatic. Give more. Will somebody clean up their house?
Yes, of course.
More, any more? Come on, tell me.
Decorations.
Sorry? Decorations. Yes, more, any more? Welcome speech. Anymore? Yes. What do you think is most important? Let's assume that your house is a complete mess and you have a very important visitor. What do you think is the most important thing in terms of preparation? It's cleaning up. Amen? That's what John did. John was excited to clean up and prepare the heart. And how did he do that? What was John's key message? If you want to summarize John's message in a sentence, what will you say? Is there, I think you must have read it today.
Confess,
yes, ma'am. Repentance. That's what John preached. Yeah? The Spanish and Spanish were religious leaders of the day, but they were hypocrites. Hypocrites means that you know, you go to church, but you are still doing other things. You are using church as politics. You are using their position. Yeah? So basically, in one way, they say they know God and angry of God, but actually, they are using to manipulate and control and benefit themselves. Yeah? They were holier than thou. Amen? The way God says that you should not judge. Matthew 7 says, judge not, and you will not be judged. He's not telling that you should throw your brain into the bin. Amen? Every day you know you are judging. You check the mirror. Is this good or is this what? Is that a judgment? What's it is? Amen? You go, someone's asking for it. Or you cook food. You taste it. Is it good or what? Is it too salty or no salt? Is that a judgment? Because it is a judgment. Yeah? Someone does some work for you. You judge it. Is it good quality? Or is it what? Yeah? heavy. You have to judge whether it should be on the middle day, or the slow day, or the fast day. Sometimes you are on the good day, depending on the car that is driving behind you, in front of you, or beside you, you change lane. What are you doing? Maybe I was driving now, I got to drop my car at the airport. I was driving home. Everything was fine, it was just like 2 miles from prison, so empty. Okay? So I was behind this car. I was driving well. But at first I thought it was moving too slow, but I didn't want to overtake it. So I didn't go in fast way. Because I'm near prison, so it's happened to me many years before. But I tried to go in fast way when I was near prison, so. And I could not find a way to get back into the slow lane. And I had to go ahead to talk to someone. It was not funny at all. So I learned from experience that when you are getting into destination, it's not the time to go in the fast. I just didn't need to also. So I didn't want to go in the fast. So I just went into the story. Yeah? But first, how can you mean there was moving slower? I was just about to move ahead of it. I don't know what happened. That car started turning into my lane without any indication, and I noticed they were aware I was there. It was going right into me. But the way just opened my eyes, I just put my whole hand on my horn. I could see the concept, it was close. Amen. When you are driving, you have to judge. Dearly, otherwise, things can go bad. Amen. So, judging is not a problem. Amen. You must always discern between what is good and what is not good. You will never live a good life if you cannot discern between what is good and what is not good. The one Jesus says is not to judge. That's not what he says. And he himself judged. He judged the Pharisees. He said, woe unto you, Pharisees! You see, John the Baptist, you brood of vipers. That judged him. He judged him. But what he says, don't judge, yeah, unrighteousness. Don't judge with an attitude of I'm better than you. Judge with love. Yeah, your judgment should be corrective, restorative, not condemning. Like you're done for. You're no good, and you will never be good. No, that's not the judgment. The judgment is the journey of this is not okay. You know, some people you never help them until you tell them that what you are doing is not what? Right. If you keep quiet, God will judge you. You will give account. See, he didn't say anything. Someone came to me and said, I have a burden for somebody. Yeah? So I said, what are you going to do? Well, he said to me, you go and do something about it. Who has the body? Yeah? Okay, so I'm going to pray about it. I said, that's a good start. But that's not all. Amen? If you're going to be truly your brother's keeper, when you have a body for people, pray for them. Then talk with them. The way God changes life all the time is through prayer and preaching. Amen? If you don't, if you are not prepared, yeah, to talk to somebody, yeah, God will not use it to change lives. And you will not come. Don't give it just to the pastor. Amen? That's why he gives you body. Go and talk to them and say, something is wrong. Yeah? Don't be afraid of me. You are helping them. You do it in love. Amen? You are not trying to pull them down. You are trying to rescue them from the gut, from the drain. Amen? If you see someone in the drain, how can you walk away and say, I won't judge? Judge, they're in the drain. They need help. Don't walk away and say, it doesn't matter. It matters. They're in the drain. Hallelujah. So when John the Baptist came, his message was repentance. Because that's how you prepare the way. Amen? You see, it's very wrong for you to just go to someone and say, you need Jesus. Because when Jesus comes to your life, all your problems will be solved. Yeah? And your life will be better. Yeah, Jesus will provide all your needs. That's not the complete gospel. That's not why they need you. Because if I talk to somebody who is rich, whose needs are already met, like, well, I'm okay. I'm happy. So, your message is this one. That is not the primary need of a human being. What is the primary need of a human being? What is the primary need of every human being? Let me take a question. What is the common problem of every human being? Rich or poor, black or brown or white, young or old, male or female. What is the primary need of every human? It's common to all of us. What do we need? What's our problem? What is the human problem that is common to everybody? From Prime Minister, yeah, to the farmer. We all have this need because we all have this common problem. What is it? And then tell somebody else. I can see. Yes.
We are suffering.
Suffering? Well, do you think everybody is suffering? It says, for the people who think they are suffering, they talk about enjoying.
You don't think so, you want to enjoy.
Yes. So, suffering, yeah, is prevalent. Like, but it's not necessarily common to every, but it's can be prevalent. Yeah? Yes? Same.
Have you ever met anyone that doesn't have the same problem? Have you met one? Have you met anyone that doesn't have the same problem?
They are sinless. Except for
Jesus. Amen. So what Jesus has come to do is primarily,
any other thing is bonus,
is to solve a sin problem.
Amen.
Do you know that suffering is a carryover of sin? Every suffering is connected to sin, whether the person sin or the sin of others.
Amen? Yeah? Somebody stole the funds to repair the roads. So the roads are full of what?
What happened to me? Like the road on Capitol Down in public. It was big. But they did that like a moment.
I just find out this one that is my face. I couldn't believe like my eyes that it happened. Like it almost damaged my entire in a month. And you're paying road tax, isn't it? And now some car, because I know what happened to me, that if you don't drive carefully, you're gonna land it. And some cars have damaged their tires. Yeah? And they feel they're suffering. But it's because somebody did not do what they ought to do. All suffering is the carryover of sin. Amen? So Jesus comes primarily to solve our sin problem. Amen? But the way that sin can be solved is what? What's the first step to the solution of sin? Thus borrowing from John the Baptist, who prepared the way. Yes. It's repentance. Amen? It's repentance. Repentance is that you admit. Yeah? You hope. Yeah? Jesus cannot save you on the first recognition that you are a sinner. Yeah? You have to understand that what? You are what? A sinner. And secondly, you cannot save yourself. Yeah? You can try. You can do your best to try to be nicer, to be kinder, to be gooder, if you can say that. But you cannot overcome the sin problem, yeah? By your own power. Amen? You need Jesus to come in. Hallelujah. So that's why John came to tell him that repent and be baptized. So the first baptism you come across, yeah, is a baptism of repentance. Did you get it? So I'm just telling you, because I'm going to Holy Spirit baptism, but let's understand it is the first baptism, which is the water baptism. It was a baptism of repentance. Yeah? Repent and turn to God. Let's go back to Matthew 3 and read it. So this was the religious leaders of the day. Can you imagine? But they were hypocrites. They were religious. What does it mean to be a hypocrite? Now I'm still going to come back to you. You won't know the way. Yet, to be a hypocrite, what does it mean? I never called anybody a hypocrite. Oh, a hypocrite. Double standard, and a double life. One leg in and one leg what? Out. And so it's so widespread. You almost think about. Yes, what does it mean? What definitions? A religious or a hypocrite in general. What does it mean? Yes! Do you know that there's some, this is terrible. There are some people, there are some religious people, including pastors, they preach one thing to you, they tell you not to do it, then in their own secret, they're doing it. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? That is hypocrisy. In the public, you're keeping a good, you're more concerned about your reputation than your character. That's hypocrisy. And so this religious, this people are in religion practicing, the religious leaders of the day were religious hypocrites. In the public, they present as good, as holy, as great, as kind, but their hearts were full of evil. So now look at Matthew 3. Matthew 3. You are reading. Verse 8. Well, you already 7 and 8. Matthew 3, 7 and 8. Yes, somebody wanted to read before ESV. Was that you? Matthew 3, 7 and 8. And I said something. Matthew 3, 7 and 8.
But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance."
Amen. I'm going to explain something to you there. This is where the religious leaders, yeah? They were the high and mighty. But they took their first step. They left their high horses and came to John's, John the Baptist to be baptized. You know, that's a really big step. There, yeah? For the religious leaders to come and be baptized. They didn't just want to watch his baptism, they came to his baptism. As they were watching his baptism, he had no place to preach to them, who warned you? Yeah? They were performing the baptism. That's why I say, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Yeah? So they have been baptized. But now John is saying to them, yeah? That, let me just read again. Matthew 3, and I'm reading verse 8. He said, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turn to God. You know, let me really explain that because it's simple, but now we miss the meaning. They had received water baptism. How did they receive a certificate? I'm water baptized. But John is saying that before they have entered the water, it's not the end of the story. This water is to help you connect to something spiritual. Yeah? Don't say, oh, because I'm water baptized, I'm repentant. No! So prove by the way you live that what? That you're repentant. You can be water baptized. You can go into water, a sinner, and come out what? A sinner. Why? Because your heart is not there. They're just trying to go through a religious rite. It can't take you to heaven. A religious rite cannot take you to heaven. Are you? In that the error of the Catholic Church. A religious life cannot take it to heaven. What can take it to heaven is a change of heart and a change of ways. Now let me tell you something. This is a blessing because in this church you get cured. It's only the truth that can make you feel. You understand? You can go to somewhere where people will just be celebrating you and praising you and massaging you and making you happy. Yeah? But they're not giving you to, they are deceiving you. Yeah? Only the truth. Say what you say, only the truth. Will make me free. And I choose to be free.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, when you change your heart, your ways must change. If your ways don't change, your heart has not changed. Please, let me just drive that in here and get you, but I want you to get it clear. It's not saying my heart has changed. Yeah? Then their ways will necessarily change. Someone could just say, oh, my heart has changed. Then you watch them for 6 months and nothing has changed in their ways. Their heart has not changed. We apply it all the time. Yeah. We apply it. Sometimes when you give me someone to do a job for you, or you have a boss at work, yeah, and then you change.
And 6 months after that, nothing has changed.
You go to them and say, oh, I need a better side. Don't worry. I have a good plan for you. 1 year goes past. No change in your pay. Yeah? Not even 1 pound increase. But they have a good plan. Are you going to continue to believe them? At some point you will walk away. Because you know this person is deceiving you. Hallelujah. So what is saying that you are going to water, but now prove by the way you leave. Yeah? That you are repented. That is what we call genuine. So, what was the purpose of the baptism? Let's go back there. Why the baptism? Why going into water and coming out?
To renew yourself.
To what? Renew yourself, yes, and take him up. So, again, we just spoke to you that water baptism is a holism, can I say? We also spoke to you that you can repent without going into water. Yeah? Because it is a heart matter. Amen? Repentance is what? A heart matter. And then the result is what you do, what you say. Yeah? So, why do you need water baptism? Yes? Let's see if you want answers. So, your commitment, I like that. Result said the renewal, I like that. I like it more. Any other friend or that to pack it together, all the good chances. Amen. Baptism. You see, anything you want to encounter God's power, you must take steps of obedience. Amen. The baptism is a process that empowers you unto repentance. Amen. Or when you repent, it empowers what you've done. It's a connection. Yeah? How do I explain this? You know, like for example, if you were a policeman or a soldier, yeah? Anybody else be a policeman? When you put on a uniform, what does the uniform do to you? When you put on your uniform, your police uniform or your army uniform, what does it do to you? If you put on that uniform, you walk out of that uniform, there's some empowerment in you. When you just look at yourself in that uniform, you know that you're a policeman. Amen. Amen. And when people see you in that uniform also, they know that what? You are. So that water baptism is an empowerment. Amen. Water baptism is empowers the action you've taken to forsake things, sin, and follow Jesus. Amen. And because you also do it in the presence of people. Yeah? They are telling them that you mean business. Like Satan said, it's commitment. Amen? It's renewal, it's commitment, it's empowerment. Baptism is always for what? Empowerment. Amen? So now, when water baptism is the first stage of empowerment, but there's another stage of empowerment in your Christian life, which is what? The Holy Spirit baptism. Which one is bigger? Water baptism or Holy Spirit baptism? Like, can you give me any reason why you say so?
Because water baptism is an empowerment and the Holy Spirit is like a shield.
Okay, thank you. More? Anybody want to add to that? Then I will come and shut away my genius. Anybody wants to do more time? Just in that direction. Why is Holy Spirit baptism more powerful than water baptism?
Or why is it that you cannot stop at water baptism and say, I'm okay? And then you don't even know. Why? Why do you need Holy Spirit baptism?
Because the Holy Spirit baptism helps you not to understand.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, let me just show you. It's just excellent. Let me just show you back. Matthew 3. Let's open Matthew 3. Matthew 3, everyone. Matthew 3. Look at John the Baptist. John the Baptist is the chairman of water baptism. That was the ministry he came on earth to do. Just what? Water baptism. Did you hear of John the Baptist doing any other miracles? Did you open the eyes of the blind? Did he provide food for the old? Yeah? Well, all he did was what? Repent. That shows the importance of repentance. Yeah? In your journey with God. Yeah? For 3.5 years, he just repent and be baptized. And yet, Jesus called him the greatest of prophets. He said, no, of anyone born in a woman, there is no greater prophet than who? Before we open up our Bible, let's just stay there and explain that. Why did Jesus call John the Baptist the greatest prophet in the Old Testament? Not now, before, up to that time. Yeah? He didn't say he's the greatest prophet of all time, but up to that time, he's the greatest prophet. Mean that John the Baptist is better than Abraham? And like a Jew, you may not like to hear that. You know, don't particular Abraham and Moses. What? And Elijah? What? Why? Why is John the Baptist greatest prophet? Elijah raised him from the dead. Moses parted the Red Sea. Yeah? How can you say John the Baptist is the greatest prophet? Oh, you know, from the Old Testament now. Why? He didn't do any special miracle? Or did he?
Salvation, everything
will not be matter. Thank you. Yes, I'm going to touch that. I'm just getting you thinking, so you know you should see the problem. Yes, because he introduced Jesus, you know, the word, yes, that's part of it. And you know, John the Baptist is the greatest prophet up to that time. Of course, not better than Jesus, but up to Jesus is the greatest. Why? The answer has been given, actually. Don't add to it. Anyway, add to it. Okay. Let me just pack it up. It shows you the importance of the repentance in your journey with God. Repentance sets your heart right for God to operate. Amen. If you're not going to be a religious hypocrite, you will learn to repent. Yeah? And forsake any part of your ways as your own. Without that, God cannot bring your life. You, if you are not repenting, you are a religious hypocrite. You are deceiving yourself and you are deceiving others. Hallelujah. One of the greatest things you can sin against yourself is to deceive yourself. Let me say that. I'm just going to do that. Amen. Imagine you send your son to I'm not doing that. To or your daughter. Yeah? Like me not me, yeah, equal, isn't it? To this one. To help you clean up your car. Yeah? So and then you know you promise, you clean it up, you're gonna get 10 pounds. Yeah? So they go there while you're sleeping. Yeah? And they do the what? Clean up. So what do they do? Yeah? Tell them. Make sure you wash it with water. Mix it with water. Yeah? Dry it. Over the parts. So what do they do? What do they do while you're sitting? Yeah? They get a wet rag. And just quickly, they do a quick wipe. A quick wipe. Yeah? A quick wipe. And says, I've done it. Yeah? Of course, if you are like me, yeah? you go back and check the details.
And find, and quickly you discover, yeah, that they didn't do what you say.
So you tell them, say, Lord, I cannot give you any, you know, they get angry.
Why did I work hard?
You worked hard in deceiving what?
That's what it means to be a religious person.
It means that all your journey, you see yourself at the end of the day, yeah, you are cast away. Sometimes it's the biggest thing you can do.
So in the verse 10, I was going to show you the difference between water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. Matthew 3.
What verse? Let's just give me a moment, I'll find it.
Yes! Verse 11. I'm just backing, showing you why Holy Spirit baptism is greater. Matthew 3:11. Who is ready? Someone who has not read today? Matthew 3:11. This one. Yes, yeah, okay.
I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater than I am, not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
Amen. So just on the basis of that verse, John the Baptist, the apostle, or the prophet of water baptism, the chairman, yeah, he says that I baptize you with water until you repent and turn to God. But somebody coming up after me is greater. He's not just greater, he's far greater. In fact, I'm not worthy, yeah, to do what? To think the same truth. That's how far far is greater. Yeah?
Because of course, why? Because he's God in human flesh. Now what will he do? He will baptize. We what? That really tells that the Holy Spirit baptism is much because you are receiving for someone who is much what? Let me just let me explain this metaphor to you. Yeah, so you understand it. It tells you that in those verses that you cannot receive the Holy Spirit baptism if you are not born again. Because for you to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, Jesus has to be in your life. Amen. Before Jesus comes to your life, you can repent. Yeah? And invite him. He will come. But for you to be baptized, he himself is the one that will do it. He has to be inside you. Amen? And the only baptism is greater. Because he says he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the what? You're not separate, it's a way of speaking. It's the only spirit baptism you that gives you fire. Yeah? You know what I mean by fire? I mean, like in today's time, we call it fear. Fear, you like, you're driving? You need what? You need fear. No fear, no what? What happens when there's no fear in the car? Do not want to bring you.
God,
you don't move like that. Amen. You know, you can walk. You can walk.
Yeah.
You can push.
You can walk if there's no fear in the car. Yes, it's your passengers. In this case, the passengers are your wife and your chicken.
Well, guys, the field has finished. So everybody, find your level. maybe it's what they surprise that the kids, you know. So they appreciate the value of the sacrifices you make for them. Because sometimes, you know, young people tend to take things for granted. Yeah? I remember, you know, by the grace of God, this year, this is June, I'm counting, so July, 7 weeks. Yeah? I'll come to the end of swimming lessons. I've been on tight. I'm not the one learning swimming. I don't even know how to swim well. But for 13 years of my life, I have driven back and forth to the academy, taking my children to swimming lessons. From the oldest to the youngest. So then I become a big promise. I'm not going to ever. You understand? That thing you would like to, you would wait. Yeah? And you would try back. Yeah? I mean, you make a sacrifice, but sometimes you don't even appreciate the value. But why did you do it? Because you are committed. Amen? Because you are committed. You are a committed father. Let me tell you about this. You know, that's what parents are, parents to be. The Lord will reward you. Amen. You understand? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it. You see, if you're just doing it for yourself, your own glory, you will get weary. You get frustrated. You open your mouth and say rubbish. You'll be tempted. Because when somebody that you're investing is not appreciating you, you want to say rubbish in the flesh. But the solution is you understand that you're not doing it for them. That's why you don't really get me telling my children after all I did for them. I don't just say it. Most of the time I say it, I try to correct that. I know where you're coming from. But you're not doing it for them. See that an assignment unto the Lamb. And He will reward you. Amen? You know? Say the Lord will reward me. If I do my assignment well. Hallelujah. Let me start by giving time, because I want to finish on time. So we still have 6 minutes to finish on time. Like, on good time. You know, not late time. Like, finishing in advance. Okay? My ideal, perfect, early finish. Okay. So, Jesus comes to baptize with the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And does it so we can have a feel with me. Yeah? To move with good speed. Without that feel, we can still be walking. Yeah? You'll still be a Christian. But you'll be walking, you'll be using your. Yes, that's the one I was going to call it, legged instruments. Amen? But if you want speed in your Christian journey and your Christian assignment, you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And the only person that can give you is Jesus in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you cannot receive that if you are not born again. Hallelujah. If you're not born again, you try to receive it, you just receive something counter. Because your heart is not really with Jesus. Your heart is in many places. You are deceiving yourself. It's actually the worst thing you can do to yourself. Deceive yourself. It means at the end of the day, you get no reward. Zero. It was like as if you never came to church. Say, God forbid that I end up with no reward for my labor. Amen. See, you have to do it right. If you want to get the price, you have to run according to the rules. Amen. If you won't run according to the rules, it's better you don't even join the race. Amen. So when I want to join the race and I know that I really want to get the prize, I want to be certain that I'm getting the rules right. Now I'm going to be this sermon and show you some rules. It will help you. Amen? Matthew 3. Go back to Matthew 3. Matthew 3. So next week we'll continue more on Holy Spirit baptism. But let's just understand the preparation. The preparation for more. Matthew 3. Verse 9 and 10. Yes, someone was already there. Matthew 3:9-10. Matthew 3:9-10. I have two versions. Matthew 3:9-10. Yes.
Don't just say to each other, "We are safe. Mm-hmm. We are descendants of Abraham." That means something. But I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire.
Amen. And I'm talking to Christians today. I'm teaching you the word of God. And we say, don't tell yourself you are saved. I come to you, I go to this church. Maybe you go to this church regularly. So I'm trying. I'm safe. Yeah? Or you don't go regularly. You come once in a while. And yeah, I'm safe. At least I try. I go to church. Some people don't go to church. Isn't it? Some people don't go to church. Some people have not tasted church for the last 1 year. Yeah? And some of those people too. Because they know some Christian vocabulary and they have Christian faith. They think they are saved. They're deceiving themselves. It says, Someone said, oh, you know, once there was once in my life I confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior. So I'm saying, you are deceiving yourself. Faith without corresponding actions is what?
Yeah.
It never happened. If your faith is alive, it will be followed by good fruit. If there is no good fruit, the tree is not good. I don't know if I can teach you this clearly. I say that if you have a tree, I know that brother, you can understand what I'm saying. You have a tree, it doesn't matter if you imported it from Canada or Salt Lake City in America. I'm speaking to somebody. Yet, you planted this tree. 1st year, no fruit. 2nd year, no fruit. 3rd year, no fruit. Let me ask, where's my mic? So what's going to brand it? What's he going to do in the 4th year?
Chop it off.
I'm telling you, man. He said, no. It is actually just a parable. It is actually just a parable. Do you know who we talk about? The Father God Himself. He's dying the Bible. He says, the acts that defend all our lives, we are all like kings. I'm talking about in the garden of the Father God. You have been planted there. Yeah? Don't think you are saved. Don't what? Because it is not your planting that you find is looking for. What is looking for is good fruit. The purpose of planting tree is what? It's to eat of it. Every tree. Did you say every? Or something? Every tree that does not produce good fruit. You what? It will be chopped and thrown into the fire. Don't deceive yourself. Don't ever deceive yourself. Don't ever deceive yourself. Don't ever deceive yourself. Don't deceive myself. Don't ever have saved. Your being saved is the way you can make you want to be saved.
Produce good.
If you are producing good food, you are saved. So we say, if I'm producing good food, I can be sure that I'm saved. Is that fair? And I want to tell you something now before we finish. You see, it's not enough for you to be saved. There are people in your life that they are producing bad fruit. What is not good is not good. Amen? There's some people asking someone who is not coming to church. They're not coming to church. Is that good fruit or bad fruit? I don't mean that they need to come to church because it's possible. Yeah, they are human. But they are not coming. 1 year. What is that good fruit or bad fruit? Is it good or bad? Or is it undefined? In fact, look at your eyes of Jesus. You are seeing to Jesus. Yeah? And that's not important. And I want to tell you something. If somebody is not coming to church, they are doing something else at that time. And that is their idol. Yeah? But I want you to understand that an idol can be a good thing. It's not an idol because it took the place of God. But that's not the point I'm making. The point I'm making is that don't deceive yourself. Don't get it twisted. You are producing bad fruit. And you think you are saved. You are the greatest fool on earth. Amen? Say, so don't say to yourself, I'm saved. Don't say, oh, we are children of Abraham. You don't understand? The children of Abraham, God promised that, you know, they will inherit. He said, don't say you are children of Abraham. Say, so God himself can raise new children to Abraham from these stones. And of course he did. God raised up to James. You know? The way to be saved is to produce good fruit. Someone tell me why. Why is good fruit important to the Father? You have repented. You have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He said you are following him. Yeah? Why is it important to produce good fruit? Why not just wear your repentance as a badge? Your water baptism as a badge, your church attendance as a badge. Maybe you will pay your tithe as a badge. Why is it important to put this good food? To be sure that you will not be caught and thrown into the fire. Why?
Because good fruit nourishes further good things and good seed.
Amen? Yes, more? Why is it important to produce good food? Why can you not get by the bad food? Why can you look? Someone said that you said that you're doing bad food. Why do they not make heaven? Let me explain what I'm saying. Someone said they go towards the wife, but they're producing bad food. Yeah, bad behavior, bad character. Yeah? Unfaithfulness, disloyalty, immorality, idolatry. Why would that not get them to end? Yes?
Because they are not following God's instruction and they can be stumbling block to other people.
Yeah! You know what? They're taking God for granted. I mean, in strongest terms, they are giving God a stinker. I don't want to describe anything. They are telling God, who cares? Yeah. And insulting him is an insult. Yeah? Let me show you this principle. That's a good tree produces what? Good tree. And a bad tree produces what? Bad tree. Now let me insult. Somebody, yeah, lies to you every day. Every single day. 24/7, 365. They lie to you. What are you going to call him?
Yeah. He doesn't know that they are doing it.
What are you?
Yeah.
Am I correct? Hello? They were bullying him, but they lie to you every day. What are they? They lie to you. Does it make sense? Does it make sense what I'm saying? Somebody steals from you every day. They lie to you, they deceive you, they collect your money by false witnesses. They are bullying you. But what are you going to call them? They steal. What are you going to call them?
They
steal. He doesn't matter whether they are 10 times morning, afternoon, and evening. What are they doing? Amen? Somebody commits immorality. Sexual immorality every week. Every week they must do immorality.
Or pornography.
What are you going to call it?
Adultery.
They are immoral. Doesn't matter if they're public. They are what?
Open your Bible to Revelation 21 verse 8.
That's the last one, and then we'll finish on that one. Of course, what I've explored today is the preparation to receive baptism, which is water baptism, which the foundation is repentance. And repentance is based on not deceiving yourself. You see, at the end of the day, when you repent, you still need God's help to become who He wants you to be. Your power is not enough. You need God's help. You need grace. Amen? If you are trying to live above sin, what do you need? You need grace. Your power is not enough. There are things that you will struggle for. Your heart must be right. Amen? When your heart is not right, you are saying it doesn't matter. Oh, it matters. If you are producing bad food, you are on your way to the fire. Every tree that's not producing good food is cut down and cut to the fire. John says, every branch that's not producing the fire, cut it off. It's a John thing. He said, every branch in me that does not produce with the Father, cut it off. Then the one that produces with the Father will prune it so that it will produce more. This is basic theology. So, Revelation 21, verse 8, let's finish there. Revelation 21, 8, who has it? Revelation 21, 8. Yes? Someone who has not read it. Revelation 21, 8. Every scripture is for you. Hey, thank you. Sorry, my dear. Okay, you know what? You give me another version. Another version. So, which version do you have? Okay, go for it. So, you have New King James. Can you give us NLT? Yeah. Revelation 21:8. Yes, come on. No, please, push it on, push it on. Yeah, go on.
But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Amen. That's the word of God. Yes, go on, please. Yes.
Are we really going to end it?
Again, where is the point is?
And the cowards, unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second verse.
Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter they're burning. Amen. Now let me explain this so I'm not confused. There's a difference between living in sin and falling into sin. Amen? You see, you can be living in righteousness, but because you are human, you can fall into sin. It's possible. Amen? You may not be planning to lie, but before you go into it, has dropped. It's possible. Yeah? That doesn't mean you're a liar. You lie, I know. But it doesn't mean you're a liar. To be a liar, you are doing it repeatedly. You are practicing it as a lifestyle. But that doesn't mean that a lie cannot affect you. It means that, you see, when you are in righteousness and you lie, what do you do? What do you immediately?
You repent.
Amen? You are a believer, you do something that is not yours, and the Holy Spirit convicts you. What do you do immediately?
You repent.
Yeah, if you believe that a lustful thought comes to your heart, it can happen. It happens. Yeah? What do you do when you catch yourself? You repent. Amen? Then, that's not who you are. See, every time you repent, you're saying, that's not who I am. Amen? But when you embrace it and think you're okay, you think you're safe. No, sir. Let's rise up. Let's rise up and pray to God. So I wanted us to just get right. That if there's nothing you want to pray today, just pray. I want to be a tree that produces what? That can you measure yourself, whether you are headed for the barn or for the fire. It's about good fruit. Every tree that produces good fruit, it will end for the barn. Because that's what the Father wants. The one that does not produce good fruit is a waste of time and investment. It's a chop down. So talk to God and say, Lord, I rededicate myself to you. It's the foundation of all good things. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet because he established the message of repentance. Say, Lord, everything in me that is not good fruit, I repent of it.